with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Michael Lombardi over in Tucson on the road, hanging out with the Arizona football team. I believe you got another meeting and practice plan for the rest of the day here, Michael?
Yeah, I'm going to go out there and watch it. The weather's not too bad. It's not overly hot like it is in Vegas. I guess it's cooled down in Vegas there, too, so that's great news. And, nice day, good time. The students are back in school here at the U of A, so it'll be fun. Watch the teams, watch them practice, watch some of their opponents, kind of get ready for my college take on college football as you and I do it every Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Make sure everyone tunes in for that coming up this fall, starting this Saturday with week zero. But to start off hour number two, we got to welcome our friends from North Carolina. North Carolina has its first station dedicated to sports betting and its latest affiliate to join the VSiN family. You can hear VSiN and more sports betting discussion every day on Bet on the Bull 960 AM in the Greenville area. Welcome to everyone listening in Greenville and all around North Carolina. We appreciate you guys out there in the Tar Heel State. I know your boy out.
Great, great town. Greenville spot. There's an airport there. It's right there. Furman's right nearby. You drive down to Clemson. Beautiful area. Beautiful part of the country. Great, great, great. The mountains. It's just really pretty. Great little downtown section. So yeah, excited to have them. I mean, the word is getting out there, Femi. Everybody knows you watch four games at one time. It's starting to spread. I can feel it.
It's coming nationwide.
I can feel it. Everybody's going to want to know how you do it, you know?
Well, they'll see how the secrets are revealed later on coming up over the course of this football season. But we're going to have a whole lot of fun this football season. So we appreciate everybody out there in Greenville for doing it. But let's have some fun here to kick off this hour number two. And it's something we like to call What's On Michael's Mind, something that's at the top of the mind of Michael Lombardi, our front office executive here at VSiN. Michael, what's on the top of your mind as it pertains to the NFL?
Well, watching the game last night, and I know it's preseason, but I liked Sam Howell when he was a freshman at North Carolina. I thought he had some moments where he didn't play well as he grew up and kind of got in it. But my first reaction to him was, well, he's got first round type talent. It didn't manifest itself. He struggled, the offense, all those things. But I thought last night, as I'm watching this team play, look, I'm not in love with their offensive line by no means. I'm not. I mean, Charles Leno at left tackle worries me all the time. And so I worry about that. But I think they're really good on defense. And I think their ability, if they can create turnovers, they got one from Martin, their second round pick from Illinois last night. Forbes is a really good player. He can turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. But I really believe that Howell will settle them down offensively. And he doesn't have to be spectacular. All he's got to be is better than what they got at the quarterback position last year. And I think they will. Look, their total is 6.5. This team is a talented team for 6.5. They've got a lot of first-round picks on defense. They've got some young players to play in the secondary. Last year they were one of the best teams in the National Football League on third-down defense. They were the best, actually. They were the best. They were the 8th-best red zone team. So they do a lot of things well. Now, where they didn't do well was they couldn't score touchdowns, 25th in red zone, and they couldn't convert third downs. I think Howell will make a difference for him. I really do. I think he'll be better than either Wentz was or Heinicke was last year.
And I think that's the biggest point right there, is that because people hear Sam Howell and they hear 5th-round draft pick, like, well, I mean, he must be bad or whatever like that. But they don't think about what he's actually replacing. He's replacing bad quarterbacks in Taylor Heinicke and Carson Wentz. So the bar for him to clear, for them to get to 7-8 wins, is not that high. No. And as long as he plays to the same level of Heinicke and Wentz, and we believe that he can play higher than that level, but if he just gets to that level, which that bar is on the floor, this can be a pretty good team that goes over that win total.
I mean, they beat Philly in Philly last year. Leno gave up a sack, strip sack for a touchdown in that game, and they still won. They still beat Philly, right? They had every opportunity to beat the Giants twice. They couldn't do it, right? The Giants really outmanaged them, outfought them. They did all those things. And Dallas, they play Dallas. Dallas beats them. It's a hard game, but they can play those teams. I mean, they're not physically going to be less than any of those teams they play. They have more talent than the Giants. I think if you would switch Daboll and Rivera, I think Daboll would win more games over there. And I think it's on Rivera to win games. I think a lot of them on. But they have enough players to be better than 6.5 wins. And I think they're going to be a problem. They're not going to be easy. Now, look, they open up with Arizona. And Arizona will come in there. They'll play hard. They'll try to create havoc. Arizona needs to win the turnover battle to win any game. Can they? I don't know. But I do think that, you know, they'll create a problem for Washington. But Washington has enough players. And if they get quarterbacking play, just a little bit of quarterbacking play, I think they can be really, I think it can be 8-8, 9-7. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl, Femi, by no means. But when you watch Wentz and you watch Heinicke, and Heinicke can play in spurts, it was just too inconsistent.
Yeah. Heinicke, I mean, it, as poorly as he played last year, it could have been much worse statistically because there was a lot of passes that he threw that defenders, I don't know if they just had some grease on their hands or what was happening, but he threw a lot of interceptable passes that didn't get caught, and then it finally kind of caught up to them late in the season when Rivera went and made that switch going back to Wentz there. And obviously we know Wentz, his play last year was well chronicled and how poor it was, and that's why he ultimately got benched in the first place. But he just needs to play a little bit better than that, and I think this team can actually make the playoffs. Like, I would look around. I know that over the 6.5 is the win total. It's even money on the over. Like, that is really intriguing. But also, if you're inclined and you believe in Sam Howell, like how we believe in Sam Howell, not to be this top 10 quarterback, but just to be kind of just middle of the road, just a little bit, but just be serviceable. If he can do that at 2-1 or better to make the playoffs, that I think is really interesting in an NFC to where outside of those top three where you have Philly, San Francisco, and Dallas, there's going to be a lot of teams in that wild card race that are flawed. Why can't the Commanders be one of them?
Right. And there's, you know, so last year they're 7-5-1. And they have their bye week. They had their bye week late in the year, week 14. They come back off the bye, and they play horrendously. They turn the ball over 7 times in 3 games. You know, they get beat by the Giants in a game they shouldn't have lost. They get beat by the 49ers easily, right? And then the Cleveland Browns, who, you know, we know that Watson wasn't playing well, and Watson beat, so they turn the ball over 3 times in that game and don't create a turnover. That's their problem. Last year, they were one of the worst teams in creating turnovers, and they turned the ball over. So when you're -6 in the turnover takeaway, it's no surprising you go from 7-5-1 to 7-8-1. And a lot of that was they're coming back off the bye, the decision to go back to Wentz. You know, I mean, look, they put 32 points on the board against Philadelphia in what? What was it,
Week 10 or something like that?
Week 10, something like that, right? They could actually move the ball. They ran the football effectively against Philly. They even turned the ball over twice in that game and still won 32-21.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players on that roster. And last night you saw the wide receiver room out there on full display. I mean, you have McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, Jahan Dotson. There's talented players. Now, we must say that we have to keep an eye on this Terry McLaurin injury because he left the game with a toe injury. X-rays came back negative, but we still don't know what the diagnosis truly is on that toe for McLaurin. And those toe injuries can linger, especially for those skill guys. So we have to kind of keep an eye on that for the Commanders here. But I think overall, this is a pretty good roster that just had bad quarterback play last year, and a couple things didn't go their way, which is why they were on the outside looking into the playoffs. When at the three-quarter point, we all thought that this could have been a playoff team.
Well, they had bad offensive line play. Let's not undermine that either. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the problem. Now, they signed Wiley to play right tackle. They brought Leno back. They signed Nick Gates to be their center. They drafted Ricky Stromberg to be in the third round, and maybe he could be the center. I mean, they got to fix the line. They changed line coaches. They moved Juan Castillo from tight end into the line coach. How that works out, I don't know. But they've tried to, and of course, Bieniemy's the coordinator. And so they changed style and approach. I mean, they went from the North Turner numerical number to the Andy Reid West Coast offense. But this West Coast offense that they're running in Washington is really more of the one that was tailored for Mahomes. And Howell can make plays with his feet. I mean, he's not a statue back there. He can move around. He's athletic.
Now, let me ask you this. Survivor, week one. They're hosting the Cardinals. Can we go to war with them? Do we trust them? Do we trust them with our entry?
I think there's certainly, you know, I want to play a home team in Survivor. I think that's really important. I think to me, you have to, because I think the one thing we know, and everybody's going to play against Arizona's opponents.
Yeah,
they are. I think Arizona and the Rams are going to become a popular team to play, especially if Stafford gets hurt. And Tampa, too. I mean, would you play Minnesota or would you play Tampa? Or would you play Minnesota or would you play Washington?
Honestly,
I think that's the question mark you have. Or Baltimore. What of the three are you playing?
Honestly, I mean, I think Baltimore is going to be the most popular selection just because they're the biggest favorite on the board. And I think a lot of people are going to say, hey, let me just get through week one and figure it out later. Because I think one of the things that's overrated in Survivor is that I got to save this team for later. You got to make sure you get to later.
You got to get to later.
You got to get to later.
That whole saving thing I think is crap. Yeah. I think you got to get to later. Like, what good is saving it if you're out?
If you're out.
You don't get a mulligan, right?
No mulligans. It's do or die. Win it, survive in advance is the name of the game. So I think Baltimore will be the number one selection, but I think number two will be between Minnesota and Washington. I would rather go Washington. As crazy as that sounds, like, this is a quarterback who's only started one game, but I think Tampa might give Minnesota some problems just a little bit in that week one game. Minnesota flirted with fire a little too much for my liking. If they do it again, I could see the ball bouncing the other way and then perhaps losing and being upset the opening Sunday.
Well, I think Josh Harris's return, the buy-in the team, it could bring some vibrancy to FedEx Field,
yep.
Right? There could actually be people show up there. And I don't think any Arizona Cardinals are going to travel. So they might actually have a home field advantage.
Yeah, we could have a home field advantage for the first time. And phew, I don't even know how, like when Kirk Cousins led them to the playoffs, maybe.
Yeah.
And the last one they won the division.
They didn't have it then.
So it's a new day in Washington, and Washington might end up being my survivor pick. But we still got to get signed up for the contest. I'll let you know when I do that. And then we'll be off and running for this football season. All right, on the other side, we'll go worst to first, or maybe first to worst. We'll discuss it next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walters recently sat down with Brent Musburger to discuss his new book, Gambler: Secrets from a Life at Risk. Now, for a limited time, get a free copy of Billy Walters' new book when you become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Just sign up on a new VSiN Pro annual subscription today and use promo code BILLY. Get an entire year of VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, season prep betting guides, 24/7 video, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits. Remember to use promo code BILLY when you sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription to get your free copy of the book. Copies are limited, so sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe today. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. We encourage everyone to go ahead and sign up for that. Coming up
in
15
minutes
from now. It is a hell of a deal.
It's a great deal to read that book, to learn about Billy. I mean, you know, all the information that you can get. I listened to Brent's interview online, and, you know, and then Brent, I love Brent. Brent was talking about how he just can't stop going through those teasers. He loves those 6 points, you know.
Yep.
And Billy's just sitting there laughing and smiling at him. So I think we could all use advice when it comes to how to best handicap these games each week. I have, after doing this for so long, Femi, for 5 years, I'm really of the belief it's about just eliminating games as much as you can.
Yeah, try to be as selective as possible. I think during the interview, Billy said that there's a reason why they're called teasers. You know, it's like there's a reason why. So it's like, if you're going to do it cautiously. Don't go all out and all that stuff. Or people, of course, like to bet a little to win a lot with the parlays and all that stuff. Obviously, you want to have fun. You're going to go ahead and have fun and take your lottery tickets. But just know that the odds are stacked against you. That's all we're saying. Just know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, make sure to stick around after Lombardi Line, because the full interview with Brent Musburger, our exclusive sit down with him, will be airing in its entirety right after this show. So make sure you stick around for that. But Michael, before we get to our NFL first to worst, we'll let folks know that we have Aaron Moore, VSiN.com contributor, joining us in the next segment to talk some college football, which teams that underperformed last year might overperform in 2023, because week zero is coming up on Saturday. Notre Dame Navy, I'm excited to see USC, Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams, the presumptive number one pick in next year's draft. At least that's what people are saying right now. There's still a whole season to play, so you can't write anything in stone, but a lot of people like Caleb Williams coming out. I know you like Caleb Williams, saying that he would have been the number one pick in this past draft. So we'll see Caleb Williams and USC a little bit later on this coming Saturday. That game, of course, on Pac-12 Network. Do you get that back in Jersey? You get the Pac-12
Network? I do not. No, I do not get that. Yes, no, I do get the Pac-12
Network. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, because I want to watch Arizona. So, yeah, I do get the Pac-12 Network. I do. It's on so late, though, at night. It's always impossible.
Yeah, it might be a 10 o'clock kickoff for you. I'm not sure what time the game starts, but it could be a late night there. Hell, it's a late night for me out here, too. I mean, some of those games end so damn late. But let's get to worst to first or first to worst in the NFL, because it happens damn near every single season in the National Football League. And this first one, this is a would you rather kind of situation, betting on these worst to first or first to worst occurrences. So this one is in the AFC East. Would you rather bet the Jets to win the division at plus 270 or bet the Bills to finish last place at 9-1? Which would you rather do?
I think I'd rather bet the Bills to go in fourth place, 9-1. I mean, the odds are better. I don't think the Bills will be there, but I don't like 270 on the Jets to finish in first place in a really hard division. With, I think Miami's going to be better defensively with Vic Fangio. I think that if Tua stays healthy, they still can throw the ball. I'm not in love with the guru in terms of running it, but, you know, I think the numbers – favor me to take Buffalo. Could something bad happen in Buffalo? You know, for Buffalo to finish in fourth place, they're going to have some injuries. For the Jets to be in first place, they're going to have other teams have injuries. So the way I break it down, I would take Buffalo with the better odds at plus 900. Now, again, I don't want to get any people complaining to me. I like Buffalo's team, but you're asking me
what, yes or no.
Yeah, it's a question.
We don't want to get the headline that says Lombardi says Buffalo will finish in last place in 2023. Yeah. I'm with you, though. I think if you play the season out nine times, there's got to be more than just one time that the Bills finish in last place, because it's a good division. The Jets have a high upside with Rodgers at quarterback. If Tua stayed healthy for the Dolphins, they could be back in the playoffs. And New England, who we've talked about all offseason, underrated team, good on defense. They're better on offense this year than they were last year, now with Bill O'Brien at OC, year three for Mac Jones. They could be a team that's a potential wild card team. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities to where if Buffalo went 8-9 or something like that, that could actually be in last place. So I think you have more outs on the Bills to finish last. So 9-1 would be my bet versus the plus 270 with J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. All right, in the AFC North, would you rather bet the Browns to win the division at plus 380 or the Bengals to finish in last at plus 750?
Again, I like the Browns to win the division. I think I'm going to take the Browns at plus 380 only because it's now or never for the Browns, right? I mean, there's no excuses for them. I mean, there was no excuses for them to let Pittsburgh have more wins other than Mike Tomlin's a really good coach, right? So they've got the quarterback, they've got receivers, they've improved their defense. I think the Browns can win this division. You know, can the Bengals finish fourth? It would only be if Joe Burrow is not healthy. If Joe Burrow is not healthy, the Bengals are getting a lottery pick. I mean, I just think that right there, because they're not going to win. You know, they're not going to win with Trevor Siemian at quarterback. Let's be clear. So that backup quarterback position on Cincinnati is really bad, and their young defense, especially in the secondary, is going to be hard. Burrow, to me, if he doesn't stay healthy all year, you're talking about a team that could pick in the top 10 next year.
Yeah. And can you imagine them picking in the top 10 and what that would mean for their roster the next year? Jeez. But I think there's like, and this might sound crazy to Bills fans, but I don't think Josh Allen has to miss significant time for Buffalo to finish in last place. I think Burrow would have to miss significant time for Cincinnati to finish in last place. That's kind of how
I don't. No, because, I mean, look, you know, if he misses four or five games.
That's significant. That division, I mean, that's 17 games. That's significant.
That division is so hard. Like, how are they going to – their schedule, like Howard Eskin was talking about the strength of schedule. This Bengals schedule is hard. I mean, there's no – look, they've started 5-4 the last 2 years, and they've been able to kind of muddle their way and play really well at the end of the year. I don't – you know, to me, if Burrow, they can't afford to lose Burrow for any extended period of time.
Yeah, no, that's the point I was making. Like, I don't think they could.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, like, I don't think they could survive it if they missed time like that with the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll go down to the NFC North. This one should be fun. Would you rather bet the Bears to win the division at 4-1 or the Vikings to finish in last at plus 360?
I think I take the Vikings at plus 360 because I don't know. I don't know how lucky the Vikings can continue to be. Right. I mean, I know Derek Stevens would never let Kevin O'Connell into the circa. There's just no chance.
He's
I mean,
banned.
Why would you? Why would you? The guy's lucky. The guy is unbelievable. You know, and I say that with all due respect to Kevin, but I don't see the Bears being good enough on defense. Forget about the conversation towards the Justin Fields and their offense. Mm-hmm. I don't see the Bears being great on defense. I think the Bears, if they could get to 8 wins this year, would be a tremendous year for them. It would be tremendous. Mm-hmm. I think my biggest complaint is the expectations of the Bears are out of line.
No, I agree with the expectations being out of line, and I guess I'm a part fault to that with my Justin Fields fanhood. Yeah. We've been pushing the point there on Justin Fields for the entire offseason, but I would rather bet the Bears at 4-1 than the Vikings, because I think that this division, there's a chance that it could just be the worst division in football, to where maybe 8-9 wins you the division, similar to what Tampa did in the NFC South last year. And I think they have an offense that is going to be good enough to get them to 7-8 wins, to where maybe another game kind of breaks your way and you can go ahead and steal this thing and win the division despite the defense being lackluster. So give me the Bears at 4-1.
I knew you'd be all over that. I knew that.
It's too juicy. The NFC South. Would you rather bet the Falcons to win the division at plus 215 or the Bucs to finish last at minus 110?
I'll take the Falcons at plus 215. I mean, how are the Bucs minus 110 and fourth, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a good chance the Bucs could be fourth, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's minus 110, yeah. Right? So, yeah, I'll take the Falcons first at 215. I think this is upside down. I think anybody could win this. I think it could go anywhere at all.
I sometimes think that we're sleeping on New Orleans a little bit. Like, I know I've been on record, not a fan of Dennis Allen, not a fan of Derek Carr, but they do have a lot of good players on that roster. And I think their defense as well is pretty solid. So as long as Lattimore can stay healthy on there, maybe we are sleeping on New Orleans. And also, I've been kind of scared a little bit by this Carolina O-line. It's starting to scare me.
It's too early to be scared, yeah. Femi. Don't live in fear. It's too early to be scary. Look at it. They're going to play their starters this next week. I mean, that tells you something. They know it. Look, I'll say this. You know, my son was there last year. That owner's involved. I mean, you know, he listens to a lot of different things. I mean, you know, Frank Wright isn't having an easy walk in the park after the first 2 weeks of there's going to be pressure put on him. Trust me on that.
Real quick. 20 seconds. Cardinals to win the division 25-1. Niners to finish last 16-1.
I would play the Niners the last 16. No, there's no chance. I mean, that's it. I'm not playing either of those.
That's one that's just like, hey, I don't want any part. You're asking me if I want to drown or burn. I'm not playing it. Yeah, I don't see any of those scenarios happening there between the NFC West. All right, on the other side, Aaron Moore, VSiN.com contributor. We're talking college football. It's week zero here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month and will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host. Team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and receive your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Lombardi, hanging out here on this Tuesday afternoon for our friends over on the East Coast. Michael, before we get to our guest here, wanted to update folks on the status of Terry McLaurin. NFL Network's Ian Rapoport is reporting that there's been good news out of the MRI and that sources say there is optimism for week one for Terry McLaurin, more of a day-to-day injury than anything. Scans show that there was no major injury. So that is the latest on Terry McLaurin. Well, let's talk some college football. And to do that, we'll bring in our guest here, VSiN contributor. You see him on VSiN.com. He's a sports media professor. He is Aaron Moore, joining us now on the Lombardi Line. Aaron, we appreciate you taking the time here. And we're going to do a little exercise here talking about some of these teams that could make big improvements. And I know that you were looking at Phil Steele's list there in his guide, which is one of the more recognizable guides in all of college football, and he had a list of 10 teams that he thought could really improve from their 2022 season. But you look like you have a disagreement with his top team, that team being the Texas A&M Aggies, who currently have a win total of 8.
Well, thanks for having me, Femi. And it's definitely, if we're going to look and talk about college football, you really have to put Phil Steele's information in mind. It has to be a very variable. He's like the E.F. Hutton. When he talks, you listen. That doesn't mean always you have to agree with him. And I do disagree with him. His top team is Texas A&M. So much talk about the Jimbo Fisher team. There's Bobby Petrino. They're back. They have this momentum on their side. But one of the things I think you have to put into context if you're looking at win totals and improvement is, well, if you are in the SEC West and you are going to improve, then somebody has to take a step back. And I don't think that's the part of the equation that is in Texas A&M's favor. Do I think they'll be better? They only scored 22 points a game last year. Bobby Petrino has to be able to improve that. Connor Wegman is back. They have a ton of tools. We know they can recruit. But to get over what they were, 5-7 last year, to get over that win total of 8, yes, they're going to be better, but I don't think they get over that 8 win total.
And how about Oklahoma? Brent Venables did not have a great first year. It feels like Dylan Gabriel's been playing for 100 years. He and Adrian Martinez, I feel like they've been playing forever, right? He's back at quarterback. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
no, I'm
do you
sorry,
think
Michael.
Do you think they get over their overtime? I know they got to be better defensively. He took 4 transfers in. He's kind of reshaped the roster. But do you feel like they can upset their win total from this year, last year?
And I think it's interesting. We're talking Oklahoma after talking about Texas A&M. Once again, high-profile team, big-name coach, big-name expectations. Only 6 wins last year. Yes, they should be improved. Dylan Gabriel is back. We know what they did in the transfer portal. Yes, should they be better? I'm certainly not dying to bet that over 9.5 wins. In fact, I like the under. So if we look at improvements, once again, it's improvement. Yes, can that happen? But does that translate to a win total? 9.5 wins, I think, is too much for Oklahoma. As you mentioned, Dylan Gabriel is back. That's still, once again, for them to win, somebody has to take a step back in the Big 12. And it's because it's Oklahoma, because it's a public team, there's a little boost to that win total. That's why I took the under 9.5. Yes, they'll be better, but I don't think they're going to be 10 wins better.
Yeah, and I think that's the important point to kind of drive home here is that I think the market has priced in the fact that this team will be better. 6-7 last year, and they have a win total of 9.5. So everyone knows that they're going to be better, but it's to what degree, and can they go over that total? Aaron's saying no, he likes under 9.5, which would 9 wins. I mean, at Oklahoma, I guess it's not a great season there, but a lot of programs would kill for 9 wins in 2023. We're speaking with Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor here on the Lombardi Line, talking college football and teams that could go ahead and exceed expectations. Let's talk about the U. They're the number 4 team here on Phil Steele's list of teams that could improve. 5-7 a year ago, win total of 7.5. Now year 2 under Mario Cristobal, who we know he recruits his tail off. I have questions with him as being a head coach and a game manager, but in terms of the recruiting, there's no questions with Mario Cristobal. Do you expect this team in the ACC to clear the win total of 7.5?
That's another one, Femi. I'm listening to Phil Steele. Yes, they're going to be better, but that 7.5 I think is a little too high. They have the home game against Clemson. That's certainly going to help, but I still don't think they beat Clemson. They have 9 starters back. Tyler Van Dyke is there. But still, I think, once again, putting this into context, Miami is a public team. They were down last year, and there's almost going to be an expectation that they're better. And I think that's what you see in that 7.5 win total is this. The books are saying there's a hope. The public says, well, Miami has to be better. Let's almost blindly bet the over win total from last year's disappointment. I'm going to take the opposite here. I'm going to take the under the 7.5 wins.
Yeah. Now we know, we know that our man Hugh Freeze is back at Auburn. And back in the Southeast Conference, should I say. And, he's got Auburn's program's been down. But then when I look at their roster, it's covered with transfers. And he named Peyton Thomas the starting quarterback. He's got two transfer receivers. He's an older team with transfers. Is this going to signal that Auburn is going to take that giant step forward?
Well, if we're looking at it, Michael, from the betting standpoint, 5 wins last year. Now their win total is 6.5. So can they get 2 wins better? I do think they can get 2 wins better. You have Hugh Freeze. Obviously, he knows how to coach offense. And let's look at this team with all the transfers and all the problems of Brian Harsin saga last year. That if we're looking for improvements, can that team with their transfers, with the coach, can they make that improvement of 2 wins? In this case, I do agree. I do like the over with that. You can just put this in context. They're 35 to win the SEC West. It's not like Auburn is going to be back to what they were in the past, but to get to that 7 win total, absolutely it's doable. And I do think it's going to be one of those culture changes, Hugh Freeze, his offense, back in the SEC, throwing it around, moving it around. And this might be the case if we look at the transfer portal. Certainly it can help Auburn get to that 7 win total.
We'll get to week 0 here in just a bit, but I want to ask you about one more team here, Aaron. And let's talk about it. Mr. Fix-It, Matt Rhule, now in Nebraska. He fixed it really quickly in Temple. He did it really quickly in Baylor. Can he do it quickly here in Lincoln for the Nebraska Cornhuskers? Their win total is at 6.
I totally agree with this one, too. Matt Rhule, I think if we're going to just do the most broadest handicapping standpoint, as you said, Femi, Matt Rhule knows how to turn teams around. And not turn good teams around, turn teams that were down, turn them around quick. If you can get a team with 15 starters back, you have Matt Rhule, they can get to that 7 win total. This one, I definitely think you're going to, I agree with Phil Steele, there's the improvement, and that improvement gets them over the win total. I really think with Matt Rhule and what happened last year with Frost, Nebraska could be one of those big stories in this season. Is Nebraska back? Yes, I think they're going to be back. And I think it's one of those stories that goes through the course of the year, and then you look at Nebraska next year, they're going to be one of those popular teams, almost like we're talking about Oklahoma this year. I think we're going to be talking about Nebraska next year.
Yeah, I mean, I love Jeff Sims at Georgia Tech. I thought he would, unfortunately, that was a hard game. It was hard for him there, but I think he's got real talent to be a dominant quarterback, and I think Rhule will get the most out of him. I agree with that. How about Rhule's old team, Baylor? You know, last year, 6-7. Go ahead.
Yeah, Baylor is another one. It's interesting about looking at a team in the case of a power conference. Now, I do like Baylor to go over that win total. I definitely agree with Phil Steele on this one. And I think more like a coordinator, Dave Aranda, the more that he is a head coach, you're going to see that improvement. I definitely like the over 7 wins here. I think if you take Baylor over the 7, I think at worst you get a push because of Aranda in that system. Definitely agree with Phil Steele on this one.
Hey, Aaron, we've got about 45 seconds left. Anything for you in Navy, Notre Dame coming up this Saturday? The Fighting Irish, 20.5 point favorites with a total of 50.5.
Yeah, I took, I hate to say it, and I wish I could give you underdogs and big juicy. I took Notre Dame minus 20.5, and I think I'm doing it for a few reasons. That Navy has a new coach. They're going to look to throw more. Early in the season, you don't know if they're going to be able to make that move from just total running to more passing. Navy doesn't get the transfer portal like we were just talking about with Auburn. So I'm a little skeptical of Navy being able to throw and keep up offensively. But even more from a different standpoint, I like Notre Dame in this case. It's week 0. It's in Ireland. All the cameras are going to be on them. Notre Dame, to get their place in this playoff talk, they need to have some style points. And I really do think they're going to be playing for those Irish fans in Ireland. And they're also going to be doing it for the media and coaches back home because Notre Dame will have the spotlight.
All right, Aaron, like we're up against it real quick here on the segment, but thanks for joining us. So that is Aaron Moore. Check him out at vsin.com. We'll be back after the break.
Thanks, Aaron.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You should. You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line, represented by BetMGM. Femi Bebefe, Michael Lombardi. Thank you to our two guests on the program, Howard Eskin of 94 WIP in Philadelphia, and also thank you to Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor, who joined us in the last segment. And Aaron also helped us out with our pro tip for the day. You can get all of our pro tips at VSiN.com/tips, but here is ours, and it has to do with these college football overs on teams who are expected to exceed expectations, teams that are expected to improve on their performances from last season, that maybe don't blindly bet those overs because the market really prices it in, especially in the case of Oklahoma, who had a win total of 6 last year, went 6-7, and now their win total this year, the expectation is sitting at 9.5.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip because, you know, it's the numbers baked in. The book's not stupid, right?
Yeah.
You gain no advantage on the book. Very rarely can you gain one. I think the only one in college football is handicapping the bad teams because I think they're late to react to that on the bad lines. But this one here, you know, they know that Oklahoma's got a historic. They see the transfer portal. It's like Auburn. I mean, you go through Auburn's roster, and it's all lit up with transfers. Hugh Freeze went in and redid the roster. Same thing at Colorado. Now, Hugh Freeze has a better team than Colorado to start with, so that's going to help him. But I agree, you just don't blindly bet these overs because the number is baked in, and everybody's expecting the quick turnaround.
100%. Once again, check out all the tips at vsin.com/tips, and also stick around. After our show will be the Billy Walters exclusive sit down with our own Brent Musburger. You need to watch that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll learn a lot there. Billy as well, promoting his book there, the Gambler Life at Risk. And that's going to be a fun book to read. Make sure you check that out. We talked about the annual subscription. You can get the free book as well. Make sure you check out all that information at vsin.com/subscribe. But sit around and stick around, I should say, for the interview coming up after us here at the top of the hour. But before we close out the show, Michael, we got 7.5 minutes left. Let's get into what you've been waiting for all show.
No,
Lombardi's list. Look at the smile on your face, man. You've been waiting for this one.
I appreciate Stephanie. She like asked me for 5 things that my list, and it doesn't have to relate to sports or betting and stuff. So I've been down this. As you know, we do the podcast together.
Yep.
So I have a tendency to be a glutton for things, whether it's food or whether it's books. And I've been down this JFK rabbit hole, and I came across this podcast called Solving JFK, which is done by a lawyer in Cincinnati. And he basically tries to present both sides of the case. It's somewhat a little bit of annoying because it's so obvious that the other side has no argument, but I like listening to it. And so for all the people out there that think Lee Harvey was the lone gunman and you're buying that rhetoric, I really urge you to do more reading and expand your mind and stop listening to Gerald Posner or Vincent Begalosi's books. Don't read those. There's so much information out there that's not fact. So my top 5 reasons why you shouldn't believe that are, number 5, he wasn't even on the 6th floor. They have 2 women testifying. They never saw him come down the steps. Here's what I don't think people realize. The Texas School Book Depository, at 12:25, the power went out in the building, so the elevator couldn't work. And so they timed this. So by the time that Marion Baker, the police officer, came into the building, and for Oswald to go down the steps, he would have had to see Vicki Adams, which she never saw him, and 2 other co-workers never saw him. And he bought a Coke on the 2nd floor, which obviously takes time to come out. Baker took 1 minute and 15 seconds to get to the 2nd floor. The best Oswald could have done without buying the Coke is 1:18. There's just no way. He wasn't even on the 2nd floor.
He must have learned from John Lynch.
Exactly. Number 4. No one ever saw him bring the gun to work. Now they have testimony that he had that he brought this gun, and it was paper. It was curtain rods in there, and the curtain rod bag should have been 38 inches long. And the guy that testified against Oswald said the bag was only 34. It was a small. But yet no one saw him bring the bag into work. No one saw him ever have the bag. And so to me, if he didn't bring the gun and you didn't see him bring the gun in, and there's testimony that says that this happened, how did he actually pull the trigger? Number three, the Jack Ruby thing. And by the way, Jeff Ruby's no related to Jack Ruby, but Jeff Ruby's a great restaurant in Cincinnati. Jack Ruby. There's a picture of Jack Ruby in the front door of the school book depository. He was also at the movie theater when Oswald was captured. Like, to believe that Ruby assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald for the good of the country and he felt sorry for Mrs. Kennedy, you're really being naive. You're really being naive. And if you trace where Ruby's been and what he did, all those things, Ruby alone will allow you not to believe that Oswald was the lone gunman. Number two, and this is a really interesting one. This is one I just learned. There's a gentleman by the name of Ralph Yates. He's driving his pickup truck. He sees a hitchhiker. The hitchhiker has a bag, a paper sack that he claims is curtain rods. Picks him up, says, "Where are you going to work?" "I'm going to the school book depository." This is Wednesday before the assassination. He drives him to the school book depository. During their conversation, the guy in the car says, "Do you think you could kill the president from above? Do you think the president's going to come by the school book depository? Do you think somebody could kill?" It goes through this whole litany of what actually is going to happen. The guy doesn't think anything of it, drops him off, gets out of the car. Okay. The next day, the assassination happens. Now, when he went to work, he told coworkers about this strange pickup that he had as a hitchhiker. The next day, the assassination happens. On Friday, he calls the FBI. They don't believe him. Why don't they believe him? Because Oswald was at work at the time that he claims he picked Oswald up. Aha. What we're finding out when you do a lot of research is there were multiple Oswalds all throughout the Dallas area. Mm. People that looked like Oswald. And so Ralph Yates was never allowed to testify for the Warren Commission because they disproved his theory. So he ends up being committed by the FBI, put in a sane asylum, and dies at 39 years old. All this is true. Wow. All this is true. And so, and then the number one I already talked about is no one ever saw him come down the steps. So if he's not on the sixth floor, he doesn't come down the steps, somebody knew about the assassination beforehand, then you can't possibly believe this. There's a gentleman by the name of Richard Nagel who went into an El Paso bank in El Paso, Texas. And instead of robbing the bank, he shot his gun up at the wall so he could get arrested. Why did he want to get arrested? Because he told the people in Texas, El Paso, that he did not want to be linked to the assassination. I rest my case, Kevin.
The top five reasons why Lee Harvey Oswald was not the lone assassin there in JFK's assassination in
and
Dallas.
I have more. I just gave you five. I have way more. I mean,
how long could the list go?
Oh, it could go on forever. And if you listen to this podcast, you know, really, you can see it. And it's so clear. And let me say this. Let's put it in betting perspective, if we yep. will. Just say Lee lived and he had to go to trial. The for him to be convicted, it would have been absolutely there to bid. It would have been a 90. It would have been 1,000 to 1 for him. There's no way they could have convicted him. There's just no chance. There's too much evidence to support that he didn't do it. Mm. And so all the money might have come in. The public would have bet that he would have been convicted. The sharps would have bet the non-convicted.
Sharp money on the other side.
That's what I say. I say sharp money on the other side, Femi. We have to put it in a betting context. I mean, if Stephanie's going to let me do this, I got to bring it back to betting. We're going to solve this thing at some point. At some point, we're going to solve this. And it may not be in my lifetime, but at some point, we're going to solve it.
How many episodes is the podcast?
He had one season was 33 episodes. He's working on season two. Naturally, I got in touch with him. He's a Browns fan, too, by the way.
Wow.
He said, I didn't realize you were the GM of the Browns when you first texted me. I said, well, hopefully you don't hold that against me, you know. So, but no, we're going to have three seasons, and I'm going to keep feeding him information.
There you go. Did he blame you for Manziel and Gilbert? Or
I wasn't there for Manziel. Okay. I was not there okay. for Manziel.
I just want to make sure he didn't blame you. I just wanted to make sure.
I wasn't there for Jamarcus Russell, but Twitter blames me for that anyway, which is fine. You know, which is, they're all experts in their pajamas. It's all good.
So that does it for this edition of the Lombardi Line. A fun ending to this one. What's the name of the podcast before we go? Because I got to start listening.
Solving JFK.
Solving JFK. Okay. Solving JFK. You got it. Lombardi's list there. Top five reasons why Lee Harvey Oswald was not the lone assassin. Thank you to our producer, Stephanie Kamerschak. Thank you to the entire crew behind the glass. Thank you to you, Michael. Safe travels back from Tucson. I will talk to you on Thursday for another edition of the GM Shuffle podcast. But coming up next, Brent Musburger's exclusive sit-down with Billy Walters here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.